I tell you, music is a healing therapy, isn't it? It provides so much comfort. Well, good morning one more time. Hi, Elle. And I won't keep you too long this morning. I know everybody's got plans and things they want to do in this beautiful day. But we do have a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles or phones or whatever devices you want to use to look up a Bible verse, you could turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the 51st chapter. Psalms 51. We're going to read verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. I believe I'm reading the King James Version, so it'll be a little old English. But it reads as thus: Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Father God, we just look right now. We turn to you asking, hoping, seeking to hear a word from you. Lord, we ask that this message would move our hearts and our minds and draw us closer to understanding your purpose for us. Help it to make clear the path that you have set before us, that we can walk and talk in your way. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. And let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You ever felt guilty about something? Yeah, been there, done that. Got a little guilt in your life. Said something. Oops, wish I hadn't said that. Did something, look back. Oh, why did I do that? And things seem to linger. The one thing about time is you can't go back in it, right? We're kind of stuck in it. Can't go forward, can't go back. We're just right now, right here. But then we do things that we wish we could take back. We wish we could go back in time and change it, rearrange it a little bit. Well, that's kind of what the scripture is talking about. When those things in life that you can't go back on, but we're still carrying them around in our memories, our thoughts, in our actions, in our consciousness, subconsciousness, things we don't even realize, but we're carrying around these things from life, things that weigh on us, and we don't even realize that they're weighing on us. We do things, we react to people in a certain way, and we still don't know why. Why do we keep doing these things? And a lot of times it's because of something that has happened in our past that we continue to carry around. This kind of guilt. It's a weight on us. It makes us act different. And so if we look at the scripture today and the message, we want to touch on, how can we get past these things in our lives that we're carrying around? How can we recognize them and see how God is trying to bring us past these things so that we can get to a place where he is using us fully for his purpose? It's not about our weaknesses, but it's about God's strength and what he's trying to do. So quickly, I want to just look at three ways that help us do this. Well, first we have to create. We have to create something. And secondly, we have to restore. And then finally, we have to sustain it. Keep it going. Don't fall back into those old ways. See, if we look in the scripture, we find the psalmist, and this time we know it was David. Because David is specifically addressing something in his life that he has done. David's made a big mistake. That's right, even David, God's chosen heart, the chosen king of God's people, made a mistake, made a big mistake. So much so that it cost someone else their life. And it cost this man his life because David wanted his wife. Terrible thing. A man of God could do something so devious, so treacherous. And so here we find David in the midst of his guilt, his shame, called by God, anointed by God, chosen, but made a huge mistake. And in his guilt, he's crying out, asking God to create in me a clean heart. Oh, if we could do that ourselves, wouldn't that be easy? It's like doing the dishes every day, right? Just get in there. Oh, look, this thing is filthy. Let me just clean this out. If we could do it ourselves, we would. Create in me a clean heart. But we can't do that, can we? We try. Oh, they've got all kind of self-help books and YouTube videos and all kind of retreats you can go to and just try and make yourself better. But David understood, no matter how many times I try and do this, I'm going to keep making the same mistakes. And so he cries out to the Lord, create in me, Father, a clean heart. Because I can't do it myself. But he's asking this from a place of weakness, where he's given up all hope. He understands that in this place, in this capacity, that he can't do anything else. He's saying, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I thought I was doing my best. I thought since you had called me, then my decisions had to be gold. Things that I was doing, they had to be the right things because you put me in this position. Oh, but isn't that the fallacy of us all? Because we get someplace, we think we've got authority to make all the decisions. We think, well, God must have put me here, so I must be right. You're not here, so you must be wrong. So whatever I say is okay. This is how it should go. See, that only works if when we're in that position, we understand who put us in that position. We continue to look to him for our guidance in every situation. I understood this very well, becoming a pastor and having to sit in that seat. People are coming to you looking for answers. Oh, it'd be real easy because I'm very opinionated. I can tell you what I think. I've got all kinds of ideas. But I also realize that my opinion doesn't have any weight if it's not first sought from, looked to the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Those are the foundations of my decision making. And that has to be the foundation of our decision making. We're weighing things out. We're trying to figure something. We're going to make a decision. Do we pray about it? Do we invite God in? Lord, help me to see what's best to do in this situation. Create in me, in this moment, right now, a clean heart. Let my heart be pure so that I can see what you are trying to say, what you are trying to do. Not my way. We don't have to do something as bad as David to have a messed up heart, to have a guilty conscience. It can be something small that just lingers there. So we ask God, Lord, create. We confess with our mouths what we have done. We get it off of our chest, out of our heart, and we express it as David did. If you need to write it down, then write it down, but say, Lord, I'm giving this up to you. I made a mistake. I did something wrong, and I need to repent. And see, David did this because he was scared. He was scared that his mistake would have a consequence, not just the death of another person, but in his own soul. See, because he says, don't cast me from your presence. Now, how scary would that be? To think that we could do something that would make God turn from us. That we have that ability, that we could do something so ugly, so bad, that God would just say, I don't know what else to do with him. That's it. And see, David was scared of that. Because he understood how blessed he was. He knew that God had put him there. God had shown him such favor when he was a little child. And for him to abuse that blessing, it scared him. And that's where we should be. We should have a little fear in our hearts. That what we do, it matters to God. He doesn't just whiff it by and say, well, it has a purpose. Our lives have a purpose. God chose you. He called you. There are those who are still out there lost without him. But you heard his cry. You heard his siren. And you came. And we don't want to be cast from that. The scripture reminds me of my kids and going out yesterday, we had a little yard day, you know, we went out, we did the walk in the morning. It was a beautiful day for it. The wind was just right. The sun decided not to shine too bright so we could walk around, and it was nice and cool out. And so we had to leave a little early because they had a playground there, and my kids see a playground, right? That's, you know the rest. They weren't ready to go anywhere, so we had to leave a little early before they got a little too attached. But we took them back home. We let them go out back and put on the sprinkler and let them just have the pool party, right? It's not really a pool, but it's what we have. And they don't know any difference, so they're happy. So they're out there, and they're playing, and just going. Ava's going down the slide into the little mini pool, and she's running around. And every time she gets to the slide, she says, Daddy, Daddy! Watch this. Goes down the slide. Goes back around. Daddy, Daddy, watch this. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, I've seen you do it. And it's not that impressive. But that's not the point, is it? What is it about kids that they feel that if you're watching, then it matters? There's a little something more to it. Now, at some point, we forget about that. And we don't care who's watching us. We're going to do whatever we want to do. But it's like as a child, our Father's watching us. And it matters. It should matter to us that he's watching. Because we don't want him to leave. We don't want that presence to be gone. I couldn't imagine life without my Father watching. So he creates a clean heart in us as we repent and we confess. And we know that he's watching us. So what we do, it matters. And we need to do this because we have to continually be restored. See, some situations in our lives are so challenging that it almost feels like something's being removed from our souls. Have you ever felt that? That you're going through something and it's so hard, it just drains you. You get done with doing what you had to do and you just feel like you can't go any further. It's just a drain on your life, a drain on your mind, on your capacity or your capabilities. Literally, the life is being sucked out of you. So we have to turn to our Restorer. When you feel the winds are being taken out of your sails, as they say, we have to redirect ourselves so that we find the movement of the Spirit again. A lot of times this can lead to a depression. We just hold on to these things, and we don't understand how to turn it around. We find ourselves depressed. You don't even know you're depressed. But for some reason, you just don't want to be bothered. Don't want to be around people anymore. Want to kind of shy away from events and being around others. You're happier just being alone. You and the television. Being in the dark. We have these symptoms sometimes, and we don't even recognize it. But it's because we need to be restored. Because life is a drain. Life pulls on us. We say, oh, it's not perfect, but it's okay. Look, it's not even close to perfect. It's the opposite. It's a challenge. Every day, something new. Every day there's an obstacle. Every day there's a situation we have to figure it out. And you don't think that's taking something out of you? Of course it is. So how do we restore ourselves? How do we look to our Lord for strength? Well, David says, restore me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Oh, there it is. There it is right there. I could do the whole message just right there. Because what it is, how do we find that restoration when life seems to kind of get us in that rut? Same old, same old, same old. Well, David says, well, you look to your salvation for your joy. What do you mean, David? What are you saying? Well, see, we've had our salvation. If we understand where our joy comes from, the joy comes because we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. See, our joy comes because a man named Jesus walked among us, and he taught, and he healed, and he brought people back to life who were already dead. And before he left here, he said, wait a minute, I'm going to show you the power of God, because I'm going to allow you to take this flesh. I'm going to let you put scars in my hands and in my feet and in my side. I'm going to let you beat this fleshly thing so you can understand that it has no power. But the power is in your spirit. It's in the belief that God has chosen you, that God is growing you, that God has redeemed you. That's your joy. This world can't take it away because the world didn't give it to you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when you're feeling down, when you're trying to figure it out, remember, wait a minute. My God already came. He defeated all of this. I don't have to feel bad about it. All I have to do is turn to my Lord and Savior. All I have to say is, Father God, I need you right now. I need you in my life right now. I can't do this without you. I need you right now. Restore to me the joy of understanding your salvation. That whatever I'm going through is temporary. But your salvation for my life is eternal. Oh, that should make us happy today. And that allows us to sustain. Why? Because it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't run out. It just keeps giving and giving and giving. But we have to be willing to receive it. David says, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. See, if we don't get to that place where we're willing to give it up, where we're willing to surrender it over, then we'll keep on trying to do it ourselves again and again and again. But at some point, when you get beaten down enough, you say, Lord, I just surrender. I'm reminded of the woman who fought through the crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't need to make an appointment. She didn't make excuses. Well, he's so busy. He can't hear me. Oh, if I can't talk to him, what's the point? She didn't make any excuses. She fought her way through the crowd and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And what happened? Jesus stopped. He didn't hear. I don't even know if he felt it. But he said, if because of your faith, you are healed. Because of just your faith, just because you believed enough that you didn't make any excuses in your life, you didn't allow yourself to get in the way of your blessing, you are healed right now. Isn't that what we need? The only thing standing in the way of you and where God wants you to be is you. Because we're not willing to let him have his way. Oh, that word will is a strong word. It means determination. It means whatever you're going through, that you don't stop. You don't quit. You just keep going. Do we have a will for God today? Do we have a will to get past our guilt, get past our regret, get past the past, and just be in the presence of the joy and peace that we find in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's the call today. Are we willing to go past the excuses, to go past the guilt, the shame, and just seek the presence of God? As the band comes forward, we're challenged with this idea today of putting everything else aside and looking to our Lord. Whether we can communicate it effectively or not, we don't need words for that. You know, me and Eliana, I was blessed to have her at a time where I wasn't working. Well, I guess I was working, but I left my job so I could be with her. And in those months, the first year, we developed a way to communicate. And she's still not verbal. She doesn't put together sentences. She can't talk to you, but I understand exactly what she's saying because I understand her intention. And that's how we are with God. It doesn't matter the words that we feel we have to say something perfect to him. He knows the heart. We just have to be willing, determined, to be in his presence. If there is a one today, you're not sure. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. You're not sure if God is walking with you in this life. I invite you today to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion and begin your